All right, so today we're really going to dive into a case that flips the script on secured transactions. Like, imagine this: you're a mechanic, right? You put in the work, fix someone's car, and they just like drive off without paying. You'd think you'd have some claim on that car, right? That's where a mechanic's lien comes in. But what happens when a bank who loaned money on that same car also wants their money? Who wins? That's what this Wisconsin case, M&I Western State Bank versus Wilson, is all about, and it might surprise you.
Yeah, it really throws a wrench into things, you know, that whole lender versus, well, everyone else dynamic. It really highlights that tension between a mechanic getting paid for their work, that's the mechanic's lien, and the lender's right to the collateral, which in this case was the truck.
So let's get the players straight. We've got Marilyn Wilson, she owns the truck, Darren Trelevin, he's the mechanic, and then M&I Western State Bank, the lender. The bank had a loan secured by Wilson's truck, and Trelevin had been doing repairs on it.
And that's important. It wasn't just one repair. Trelevin had actually worked on that truck 7 times. Each time he finished, he'd let Wilson take the truck back temporarily so she could work and, you know, eventually pay him.
Okay, so that sets the stage. Wilson defaults on the loan, and the bank wants to repossess the truck. Makes sense, right? But there's a twist.
Exactly. Trelevin says, "Hold on, I have a mechanic's lien on that truck for all the unpaid work." He claims his lien comes before the bank's interest.
Now, that's a legal battle I'd like to see. So the court basically had to decide, does a mechanic lose their lien just because they temporarily gave the car back to the owner?
That's the question. To figure this out, they dug into Wisconsin law, focusing on two statutes. Wisconsin Statute 409.310, which deals with how possessory liens, like the mechanic's lien, stack up against security interests, like the bank's loan, and then Wisconsin Statute 779.411, which specifically says a mechanic can hold a vehicle until they're paid.
So, two statutes, potentially going head to head. It's like a legal tug of war. Who won?
The Wisconsin Court of Appeals actually sided with the mechanic. Their reasoning was interesting. They basically said the law doesn't explicitly say the mechanic has to continuously possess the vehicle to keep their lien. The wording is may retain possession.
That little wording difference seems like it packs a punch.
It does. The court realized that making mechanics hold onto vehicles all the time would be crazy bad for business. They need to work on other cars, customers need their cars, and storage costs would be insane.
Makes sense. So the court was basically saying just because a mechanic lets the owner use the car for a bit doesn't mean they're giving up their right to get paid.
Exactly. They made a clear distinction between a temporary conditional release, where the mechanic expects the car back, and completely giving up the lien, which didn't happen here. This ruling has some pretty major consequences, especially for, well, anyone involved with loans or car
Oh,
repairs.
for sure. Let's talk about that. What does this mean for lenders?
Well, this case is kind of a wake-up call. They really got to be on top of things when it comes to risks to the collateral backing their loans.
So, like, don't just assume that because you made the loan, you're first in line to get paid if things go south.
Yeah, that's a risky assumption. You've got to be aware of any other claims that might come up. In this case, it was the mechanic's lien that had priority.
Okay, so lenders need to be proactive. How about mechanics? What should they learn from this?
For mechanics, it's simple. Document everything. Anytime you let a vehicle go, even for a bit, make sure you have a written agreement saying you're keeping your lien rights and expect the car back.
So no more handshakes or just like talking about it. Everything needs to be on paper.
Right. This case really shows how important that paper trail is.
I know this was in Wisconsin, but does it matter for people in other states?
That's a good question, and that's where things get really interesting. It makes you think about how other states would handle this kind of situation. Remember those Wisconsin laws we talked about?
Yeah.
Those are based on the Uniform Commercial Code, the UCC, which most states use, but each state can tweak those laws.
So the big ideas might be similar, but the little details in each state's laws are what really matter.
Yeah. What works in Wisconsin might not work in, say, California. So knowing your state's laws is key. This case shows that things can be pretty different from state to state.
All right, so we've talked about lenders and mechanics, but let's go back to the legal stuff for a second. Can you walk us through how the court came to this decision, like their logic?
Sure. The court had to get a little creative to make sense of those two Wisconsin laws that seemed to clash.
Okay, break it down for me.
They started by looking at Wisconsin Statute 409.310, part of the UCC, which talks about how possessory liens, like the mechanics, rank against security interests, like the banks. This is where it gets interesting for legal folks like us.
The heart of the matter.
Exactly. The bank basically wanted the UCC to be interpreted strictly, saying that since they filed their interests first, they should get the truck no matter what.
So like a finder's keeper's argument, but with paperwork.
Huh. Yeah. Something like that. But the court used Wisconsin Statute 779.41, the one about the mechanic's right to keep the car, to make an exception to the usual UCC rule.
So they used a state law to create an exception to a broader law.
That's right. And they focused on the words may retain, saying that it doesn't mean the mechanic has to hold onto the vehicle all the time for the lien to count.
That word may is doing a lot of work here.
It is. And the court's reasoning gets really interesting. They pointed out that demanding continuous possession would be a nightmare for mechanics, really bad for their businesses.
Total chaos. Shops full of cars, people stranded without their vehicles.
Exactly. The court understood that a strict interpretation of the law could backfire. They wanted to balance protecting the lender's interests with letting mechanics do their jobs.
So they were looking at the big picture, not just the words on the page.
Right. They were careful to distinguish between those temporary releases where the mechanic expects the car back and a situation where they totally give up their claim.
Which didn't happen in this case. Trelevin wanted to get paid and got the truck back in the end.
Yep. The court even brought up constructive notice. Because the bank's sheriff took the truck from Trelevin's shop, they were considered to be aware of his lien.
So even though there wasn't a formal notice, the truck being at the mechanic shop was enough to alert the bank.
That's the idea. Like the court was saying, come on, the truck was right there. The bank can't say they didn't know. An interesting way to use that notice idea.
It's like if you see something, say something, but in a legal way.
Yeah.
Okay, the bank had notice. What about the mechanic letting the owner use the truck? Wouldn't that mean he gave up his claim?
You got it. That's a good point. The court addressed that by comparing it to tax lien cases, which often involve property being temporarily released. Courts have said those releases don't automatically end the lien.
So they used other areas of law to support their decision.
Exactly. They're basically saying, this isn't some crazy new idea. Temporary release not ending a lien is a well-established thing.
Interesting. This case has big implications for anyone involved in these kinds of transactions, especially lenders.
Oh, absolutely. It's a big heads up for lenders and their lawyers to really watch out for these potential mechanics liens when they write up loan agreements.
So what can lenders do to protect themselves?
One thing is to include language in those agreements that prevents borrowers from making side deals with mechanics without the lender's okay.
Get everything in writing and make sure everyone's on the same page from the start.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Another thing is for lenders to act fast when a borrower defaults. The longer they wait, the higher the chance that other liens, like a mechanics lien, might take priority.
Procrastination is not your friend when it comes to collateral.
Nope. And we can't forget about the mechanics. This case shows how important it is to document everything carefully. If you release a vehicle, even temporarily, make sure the agreement is clear, written down, and doesn't leave room for misunderstanding. Say in writing that you're keeping your land rights and want the car back.
Don't just shake hands or agree verbally. Put it in writing.
Absolutely. And it's just as important to know your state's laws about these things. Remember, this happened in Wisconsin, so things might be different in other states.
Right. Every state has its own quirks.
That's what makes the legal system so interesting and complicated. This case really shows the tension between the UCC's general rules about priority and that old tradition of making sure mechanics get paid.
It's like a battle between old and new legal ideas.
Yeah, and this case shows that those old ideas about fairness still matter, even with modern commercial law.
It's amazing how a simple car repair case can open up so many legal questions. It just proves that law is always changing to keep up with the real world.
You got it. And that's what keeps things interesting for us legal professionals.
Well said. But before we move on, I think we should play devil's advocate for a bit. How would this case's logic work in slightly different situations?
I'm always up for hypotheticals. It's a great way to see how far this decision goes and how it might work in real life.
Okay, so let's say a mechanic lets a customer test drive a car over the weekend before paying. Would the mechanic still be protected under this case?
That's a really good question. And the answer, like with most legal stuff, is it depends.
Come on, there's never a straight answer in law, is there?
Not often. It all comes down to whether the release was really conditional. Remember, this case was all about conditional release.
So just letting a customer drive around wouldn't automatically mean the mechanic gives up their rights.
Not always. If the mechanic can show it was temporary and depended on the final payment, the court's thinking suggests the lien would probably still be valid.
So documentation is key here. The mechanic needs something written down saying what the test drive is about and that it depends on payment.
Exactly. An agreement that spells out those expectations, like when the car comes back and when the payment is due, would really help protect the mechanic's lien.
Got it. But what if the bank tries to take the car while it's on this test drive? Would that change things?
Now that's where it gets tricky. Remember, the court really focused on the bank taking the truck from the mechanic's shop.
So the truck being at the shop was important for showing the bank knew about the lien.
Right, but if the bank repossesses the car while it's with the owner, even for a bit, it gets more complicated. The bank could say they had no idea about the mechanic's lien.
So it becomes a question of whether the bank knew or should have known about the lien when they took the car.
Exactly. And what happens then would depend on the specific facts of the case and how the state laws interpret that notice requirement. It's much less clear-cut than the original case.
This shows how a small change in the facts can make a big difference in how the law applies.
Definitely. This case shows how law isn't always black and white. There's a lot of gray area, and the details are important.
Okay, last one before we wrap up. What if, instead of just relying on where the car is, the mechanic sends a detailed invoice to the owner and the bank, listing all the costs and saying they have a lien? Would that change things?
Now you're getting into the nitty-gritty. That's a great question, and it goes right to how notice works in these cases. In this case, the court really focused on the truck being at the shop as proof of notice.
So sending an invoice wouldn't automatically count as enough notice.
It's not that simple. Sending a detailed invoice to both the owner and the bank is definitely smart. It helps the mechanic's case. But whether it's enough legally depends on how the courts in that area see those notice rules.
So those state-specific things matter again.
Always. Some states might say a clear invoice sent to the right people, including the lender, is enough. Others might want a more formal filing or registration. You have to check your state's laws and get legal advice if you're not sure.
Good advice. So even though this case tells us a lot about mechanics' liens and security interests, things can be complicated and vary by state.
For sure. It reminds us that law keeps changing, and we need to stay updated to give good advice to our clients.
And this case really shows how important it is to think carefully about the law and how to apply general ideas to specific, messy, real-life situations.
Exactly. That's what keeps things interesting for us legal professionals.
Well said. So there you have it, a deep dive into a case that turns secured transactions on their head. It shows how important it is to be clear, document everything, and understand those state-specific legal details.
We hope this deep dive has given you some things to think about and maybe even sparked your own legal curiosity.
Thanks for joining us on this legal adventure. We'll be back next week with another interesting legal puzzle to unpack. Until then, happy lawyering. This case really makes you think. It's like David versus Goliath, but with lawyers. It shows that even though the system seems to favor big institutions, individuals and small businesses can win if they've got the law on their side.
Totally. It wasn't just about being fair to the mechanic in this case. It was about sticking to an old legal idea, making sure people who do important work get paid for it.
That's important. It's about saying that skills and hard work matter. We need mechanics, and they need to get paid to keep doing what they do.
Exactly. Mechanics' leaners are powerful. They make sure skilled tradespeople get paid what they deserve. This case proves they're strong and can even beat a bank's interest in the right situation.
It also makes me wonder about the big picture. Like, with all this technology and the digital economy, how will those old legal ideas like possessory liens change? I mean, how do you even possess something digital? What happens to those liens then?
That's a great question, and legal experts are thinking about that right now. As more things become digital, that idea of possession gets really fuzzy. It challenges those old legal ideas.
Like, we almost need new legal words to talk about these new technologies.
Maybe. Or maybe those old legal ideas are flexible enough to work in these new situations. It'll be interesting to see how the law keeps up with technology.
It's cool to think about the challenges and opportunities for lawyers. This case shows that law is always changing, always adapting to the world around us.
Definitely. That's what keeps it so interesting and engaging. There's always something new to learn and figure out.
Well said. So there you have it, folks. Our deep dive into M&I Western State Bank versus Wilson. A case that not only shows how tricky secure transactions can be, but also raises big questions about the future of law in this ever-changing world. We've looked at old versus new legal ideas, the importance of communication and documentation, and those little details that change from state to state.
We hope you got something out of this deep dive and maybe even feel inspired to explore these legal questions on your own.
Thanks for joining us on this legal adventure. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.